Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. We've got a thoughtful and thought-provoking type of a conversation we're going to be having with a wonderful author today, and I will be opening up the phone lines later on in the program, but we are going to be talking with Louis LeGrand. His wonderful publication is Love Lives On, Learning from the Extraordinary Encounters of the Bereaved. And Louis, this is wonderful to be able to talk to you today. Are you in Florida? Where are you today?
Yes, Donna. I've lived in Florida for the last 10 years.
Uh-huh. Well,
weather is nice. In the high 70s today.
Oh, gee. I really needed to hear that. Uh-huh. Yes, I'm in the Northwest. We have winds. The chill factor is about 34 degrees.
Oh,
and you're telling
wow.
me it's in the upper 70s. Okay. Anyway, I love the Northwest. I don't care. We were out today. With
oh, I do, too. Really.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Lou, and you've given me permission to use your nickname, Lou.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for that. Your book was so very, very interesting because you have had a very, very unique career, and I'm going to share that with people. And it's not, you know, when you use the word career, that sounds so stilted. It has been a living life experience that has evolved into a passion of helping other people in a very special way. You have been teaching about death and counseling the bereaved.
Correct.
For many, many, many years. You're a graduate of Cortland College. You are a former Distinguished Service Professor Emeritus at Sunny Possum, where you started the first college course, the very first college course, on death and bereavement. And you are one of the founders and past president of the Hospice of St. Lawrence Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You are a certified grief counselor, and you currently are the bereavement coordinator at Our Lady of Lourdes Church and the director of Loss Education Associates in Venice, Florida.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You've written about this for years, and of course, later on, we'll give out your website. I want to start off with a quote that's right at the beginning of your book.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's in your introduction, Seeds of Hope. In three words, I can sum up everything I've learned about life. It goes on. And that was by Robert Frost.
Right.
And you have been labeled the Death Man. My goodness, that sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Well, that came from a lot of my academically oriented colleagues.
Now, in academia, I'm sure you encountered so many people that just literally shuddered, mentally or physically, at the thought of your even giving classes like this.
Oh, yes.
In now, fact, how did they even open the door to this so many years ago? Why was this something that they were even able to consider?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a difficult job getting this course okayed. I had to go around to several of the academic departments and make it clear that I was not going to be encroaching on anything associated with their subject matter, and that I was simply going to give the facts as the research has shown up to this point. So it was a long haul. It took me a good 6 or 8 months before I finally got the okay to have the course.
Now, you start off with a lady. Her name is Sylvia. And I thought that this was a very poignant story. She was a 64-year-old grandmother when you met her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going through the mourning about the death of her daughter, who was 28 years old. Tell us Sylvia's story.
Yes. In fact, Donna, this is the story that my first as a counselor. And this woman came to me, and she told me the following story. She said, my daughter died at a very early age, and before she died, I asked her if it was possible. And I said to her, I said, you know, I really feel, and this lady had a very strong spiritual orientation, I really feel that you are going to be in a better place. And if it's possible, would you send me a sign that you're all right? And she said, 4 months after her daughter's death, she was over at her other daughter's home taking care of her four-year-old grandson. And she was giving him a bath, and she said, now, I want you to stay in the tub. I'm going to go in and get your pajamas. And while she was in his room, all of a sudden she heard him making a commotion, so she ran back in, and he's climbing out of the tub, and he's a little scared. And she said, what are you doing? And the little boy said, I saw a picture of Aunt Jan, and she was smiling. Now, that was the daughter that died.
Mm-hmm.
And this little four-year-old had been given the gift of seeing a facial vision of his aunt. And so the grandmother, of course, came to me because I was that so-called death man on campus, and really anybody, I think, that would have touched this story to begin with. And she asked me the big question. She said, do you think this could have happened? Well, I had been trained in the scientific method, and I had been trained to look at these things as either illusions or hallucinations. But for some reason, and I am so thankful, somewhere deep inside, I answered the question this way, very brief sentence. I said, I think it's possible. Well, that's all that this woman needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that for one reason. 18 years later, it was suggested to me by a colleague. She said, you know, you ought to go back and re-interview the people that you first started out talking to about these experiences and see if there's any long-term benefits. And so, sure enough, I looked up this woman, and I went back up north where I was teaching this course in the summer. And I said, well, if she is alive, she'll be 84 years old. So I took the number out and gave it a call. Lo and behold, she answered the phone.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I said, do you remember me? And you came to my office, and you told me the story about your daughter. Oh, yes, oh, yes. So I said, I'm doing some follow-up work, and I just have one big question for you. Did this experience with your four-year-old grandson have any long-term effects? That's what I'm interested in. And the very first thing she said was, oh, yes. She said, it strengthened my faith. So from that point on, she had a great feeling that her daughter was alive, that there was another place, that there was a better place. She really felt that she had been given a gift. And that's from the point that I first met this woman, I began to talk to a number of my colleagues, and you know, this is at that time, and it's still that way a little bit. It was a very, very hidden topic, but all of them had at least one or two of these things, and most of them had dismissed them as being simply an artifact of grief.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw them, and I still do today. In fact, my major interest today is trying to get people who provide support for the bereaved who have these experiences to use them to
mm-hmm.
help them deal with their loss and to reinvest in life. And
oh, I agree.
Yeah,
I think that's so valuable. That's why your book is so beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think when we can talk openly about things like this, and we can have compassion. I myself have gone through so many different experiences, but what people will say to me, oh, but Donna, you're a psychic, so this is what you do. No. It happens to anyone. Everyone has the intuitive capacity, period.
Mm-hmm.
It operates in different levels. But to have these experiences and to be able to share them with others is so absolutely necessary. It enables one to actually deal with the grief, I think, in a much shorter time frame because there's a sense of relief. There is a sense, almost a sense of joy.
Exactly.
And
in fact,
is a release right there.
Yeah, in fact, that's why the title of the book, the individual that has one of these is convinced that he or she is still loved.
Mm-hmm.
And love does go on, that this person has been given a gift. Sometimes they believe the gift has come through a supreme being or from a supreme being through the deceased loved one.
Mm-hmm.
Other times they think that the person themselves has been able to do that. And so these experiences have a tremendous impact on the person that has them. And that's what's important. Who am I to say, well, I haven't had your experience, but I can tell you that it's just an artifact of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what your experience was like.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, Anna, I have never had one of these myself, and I have lost a child in death, my older brother, my younger sister, my
mm-hmm.
parents. I would love to have one. But when I speak to people who've had them, oh, what a difference it makes in their lives when you say, you know, you've been given a gift.
Oh, yes. I agree with you 100%. Now, for those of you that are just tuning in, we're talking with Louis LeGrand. He likes being called Lou. His book is called Love Lives On, Love Lives On, Learning from Extraordinary Encounters of the Bereaved. You have a wonderful way of titling your chapters, and one where he says, we are always in the embrace of mystery. I just love it.
Yes.
Because I think when anybody reaches the point of arrogance where they say, there's nothing new, I just think, boy, are you going to be getting a kick in the seat of the pants somewhere along the lines of life. Because there's always an evolution of newness in the sense of experience that we've not had before. And you have this wonderful, wonderful story by Leona West out of Salem, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to share the story about her brother.
I have to tell you first that it's important, and I always try to get this point across when I'm doing a workshop for professionals or for the general public, that there's a very important quote by a scientist who said that knowledge is an island in a sea of inexhaustible mystery.
I like that.
Yes, and the more that we learn, it seems, it doesn't really chip away a big chunk from the island of knowledge because there's always more questions. The more we find out, the more questions we find. And all of these stories, and I have to emphasize this, Donna, all of these stories can be explained scientifically, or they can be explained because of your own personal beliefs. And I am very much for championing the idea that our personal beliefs, what we believe to be true, can be just as impacting as any scientific observation.
Oh, I agree.
Yes. And so let's get back to that lady in Oregon.
Leora.
Yeah.
Leora West.
Leora, and I'll tell you, I've heard so many of these stories that everyone...
Well, let me just share it with you. She's the lady, she was 27 years old when her mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years later, one of her five brothers was killed.
Oh, Marlon.
Yes.
Yes, her brother, yes. Now, that was a really an important happening in her life, because any time somebody has a vision or can see the deceased loved one, it is probably the most dramatic type and has an amazing impact on the person. But in this instance, at the funeral, this man's son gave her a hug, and said, this is from my dad. And as she was being hugged, she looked over his shoulder and saw her brother in full, not just facial, but in full body vision.
Mm-hmm.
And only for a moment, and again, a tremendous feeling of awareness of a new life, of new mystery. And these are the kinds of things that, regrettably, for so many years, we have been dispatching to the dustbin as being just hallucinations.
Yes.
When often, you see, these things occur when the person is not expecting them. Now, she was being hugged and looking over this young man's shoulder, you see. And this is what happens. Look in terms of that young 4-year-old boy. You see, he certainly was not expecting anything like seeing the vision of the face of his aunt. So there's got to be a power that is so much greater and so much more aware than we are, because these things happen so frequently and always end up helping immensely the person to get through the great transition that these deaths often cause.
Now, you also talk about near-death experiences in your book, and you mentioned the Pam Reynolds case, where she went through a near-death experience, and she was totally aware, and I've heard this from other people, she was totally aware of the surgeon using a surgical saw. She saw her grandmother, her uncle, her elder relatives and friends, all who had died, who had passed over. And the fascinating thing is that according to science, hallucinations are said to only occur in a functioning brain.
Exactly.
Now, they were recording at this very time she was in this near-death experience. Her brain wasn't functional.
That's right.
All of the brain's blood had been drained. Gee, this sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. Great movie.
Yes.
This would make a good movie. All of the blood was drained from it, and there are people that will say, oh, what Pam experienced, she doesn't know what she's talking about. It's an hallucination. But she's not supposed to have any hallucinations if the brain isn't working.
Exactly.
So
you need electrical activity in the brain to have an hallucination.
Yes. So here you have these various experiences that people have been so willing to be able to share them with you. And I know I have heard so many of them myself, and that's why your book, Love Lives On, really means a lot to me, because I think that it is a tool that other people can utilize if they're going through grieving themselves. It will really make a difference. Now, do you remember about Dr. Romer?
Oh, yes.
She really was a scientist, wasn't she?
Oh, she certainly was. In fact, she wrote a very nice book on near-death experiences.
What made her change her mind?
Well, I think she had, as a physician, heard a number of these kinds of NDEs occurring, and they were shared with her by some of her patients. And then, after the death of her husband, she had a number of visits, and the story that she told me before her untimely death was with regard to a young man who was helping her out, taking care of her only son, and this was after the death of her husband, and to make a long story short, this young man saw a vision of the husband who was upset because he was downstairs sort of resting while the young boy that he was taking care of was upstairs all by himself, see? And the young boy had a handicap, and the husband, the deceased husband, of course, was always taking care of this young boy. So anyway, when the doctor came home and the man who was taking care of her son said what happened, he was so scared. In fact, she told me later on that he just decided he couldn't work there anymore. He was just spooked.
Mm-hmm.
And but see, again, for the doctor, you know, and she had been trained, you know, highly trained in science, she was open too. And I think that's why she received so many of these kinds of things and helped immensely with many, many people who were dying.
A quote by Confucius is in your book, "Bemoan not the departed with excessive grief. The dead are devoted and faithful friends. They are ever associated with us."
Exactly. You know, one of the things that I do in my counseling, I run a number of support groups. And one of the things that I emphasize is that there's nothing wrong with talking to the person who died.
Thank you. Other people, so many individuals think, oh, that's terrible. You're crazy when you do that.
Right, right.
Do it in the privacy of your own home or wherever
exactly.
you are. It's
exactly.
okay.
In fact, I have a woman now who has helped me out, and her husband has been dead now for 4 years, and I just was talking with her within the last month, and she said, you know, she said, still, when I get up in the morning, I'll say, how you doing, Art? You know, and
mm-hmm.
she said, I'm all alone, and she said, I'm living by myself, and so on, and hey, it's a healthy thing. There's nothing wrong with it.
Do you remember in Hello, Dolly?
Yes.
And the Barbara Streisand, I just love that woman, and I thought she did just a phenomenal job in the movie. And I forget the name of her ex-husband, but it came time when she had a conversation. She was always talking to him throughout the movie. And finally she has a conversation where she's letting him. She said, you know what, it's time for you to go. I just loved that. I just
yes.
loved it.
Yes.
Because there was a new person in her life. And I think that there is so much that can be shared and that can be given. And I like you have various tips of wisdom and understanding where people, the seven wisdom lessons is the exact title.
Yes. Right.
One of them is what you focus on expands. You have so many different thoughts in here.
And, you know, that is so especially important, Donna, because the more that you focus on the pain, the more you tend to draw pain towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many people who are grieving don't realize how important it is that they do need to take a rest from grieving. They do need to get out. They do need to interact with other people and to change their focus. In fact, learning how to change your focus is another very important survival skill. And it comes into play because it's so important to try to focus on gratitude, on what you still have, on helping others. These are all things that can help you to get through your dark night of the soul.
I feel that that's very, very true. Whenever people, and I've known some individuals who have carried grief in their experience as a very, very heavy burden to such a point that it literally immobilized them for as long as 12 or 15 years, you can really empathize with them to a point, but after a point you say somewhere you have to lay that burden down, and then some people don't want to.
That's right.
Some people choose to carry the burden
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, and
yep.
it's difficult because
yes.
if you support them carrying the burden forever and ever, you're really not empowering them. You're not helping them to
right.
get back on track with their life, and that's what I like about your book. It is all about empowering the individual
yes.
because we all go through things. You have a quote in your chapter, Choose to Serve. It's an ancient Chinese proverb. If you want to find joy for an hour, take a nap. For a day, go fishing. For a month, get married. For a year, get an inheritance. For a lifetime, help someone.
Exactly.
And I like that proverb because
mm-hmm.
I think that so many things in life can be very fleeting. And when we have that positioning of being able to empower other people, it makes all the difference in the world. I don't care what your age is.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, what is your website that people can go to? I know
yes.
we're almost out of time here.
Yes, it's www.choosetoserve.com. extraordinary grief experiences. ExtraordinaryGriefExperiences.com.
ExtraordinaryGriefExperiences.com.
Yep.
And all of that is spelled out.
Extraordinary. Yeah, that's all in one word. And that the experiences is plural, S with an S on it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And for those of you listening, Love Lives On is the title of the book, Learning From the Extraordinary Encounters of the Bereaved. But it's more than that. It is an insight into many different levels of grief experience. It's not just the passing on. Sometimes we're dealing with experiences like a loss of a job, or our lifestyles are thrown into different spaces and places, and we get confused. Sometimes we grieve for various reasons. It can
mm-hmm.
be a pet. It can be any number of things.
Exactly.
So this is a book that empowers you maybe to help someone. Maybe it's not your experience at this time, but it helps, and it can help someone. It's
a
wonderful gift.
Donna, one thing that I have in one of the appendixes that would be very important for not only the griever, but also anybody who gives support to people who are mourning, is what I call the 9 survival skills.
Mm-hmm.
And these are skills that I teach every client who comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they are important parts of strengthening our mental health. We all need them. We all can use them. And
absolutely.
Especially when we are mourning, and it's so normal, you know, to feel down. And it's okay to do that for a while, to feel down, but we have to try to pick ourselves up a little bit. Sure, we're going to slip back, you know. I remember C.S. Lewis saying that the grief, you know, is like a circular trench. You just get by one area, and you think, oh, I can relax. And all of a sudden, you come back to it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And during those intervals, we need to strengthen ourselves. And we need a few skills. And, you know, the whole history of loss is that we have the ability to cope with it. We can do it.
All we
need is just a little help from our friends.
That's right. And your book definitely would be a friend in someone's library. Also, he has a lot of other suggested readings, books that he has himself become aware of, and they are listed inside. So this is a marvelous, marvelous book to add to your library. And don't forget his website, ExtraordinaryGriefExperiences.com. ExtraordinaryGriefExperiences.com. Louis LeGrand. Louis, or Lou, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Donna, and it's always a privilege to be with you.
Thank you, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We've got a lot more good things to share with you today. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and our telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you want to call in from Canada, toll-free, it's 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And for anyone else, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And I want to thank those of you who are sending me emails. I'm trying to do catch-up from the holiday season. And slowly but surely, I'm getting to everybody, and I will be able to respond to you. I did have an inquiry from someone who wanted to know about numerology. And for those of you who are listeners, I'm not an expert when it comes to numerology, but I'm more than happy to do a reading for anybody on the air, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you my mental impressions, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything. And yes, I'm also available for private sessions, but I'm not an expert on numerology, nor am I an expert on astrology, but I have some fun things to share with you with astrology, so I'm going to be giving you a little bit of that. For those of you under the sign of Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, here is a brief synopsis about what is in your, well, what's in your determined future in general for 2007. Now, for those of you born under Libra during the winter, well, you've got a lot of romance that possibly could be coming your way this month of January, and you might find that there is a desire, a strong desire for commitment. Now, spring is going to put a lot of demands on your time, so don't be surprised if you feel like you are running at just an incredible pace. So you also, if you're out looking for a job, you want to be sure you're updating your resume. And if you're looking for something new, you might find the month of May and also June will be very positive for finding that new job. Summer, social life, you should be having a great time. Looks like you're going to be taking quite a few short trips, weekend holidays, and you know what? You need to give up that artistic interest. And if you've sort of gotten sloppy about doing your meditation, you might want to pick up on that a little bit so that you can sort of keep things on an even keel. And by fall, well, Mars is in your career and reputation zone from September 28th through the rest of the year, so you're going to have to really work. You're going to have to work hard to achieve your goals, and if you do, you might find yourself feeling better about money and or maybe receiving recognition from your peers. Now, what about those of you under the sign of Scorpio? Winter, money, 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 money. That is going to be on your life's platter, and you're going to be very happy about the whole thing. And if you pay attention to how you use your money, it looks like it's going to be multiplying for you abundantly. And after late February, your home is going to be your primary focus because you're going to want to do some changes in your home. And you want to also attend members of your family. Now, this spring, there's a love life patterning that could be very positive for those of you that are seeking it. And work is going to become a very important focus from mid-May to late June. And you know what? All of your hard work is going to pay off. And you're going to achieve a milestone for yourself that you will have worked for a long time. The travel bug is going to bite you hard this summer. You're really going to want to be out and about. So remember, this is the time for you to plan ahead so that you can have those excursions and have those dollars saved so you can enjoy them comfortably. In fall, you're going to find that you might be interested in a new car, and if you enter a contest, who knows, you might even be able to win one of those beauties. And a long-lost friend may return to your life during the summer. Now, what about those of you under the sign of Sagittarius? Well, winter is indicating a job change. If you want it, it's going to be happening. And your family and home are going to be very joyful, a very positive environment. Strong luck from February 21st to May 17th. And, well, you may be able to experience just a sense of joy overall with your life, maybe a little romance, too, if that's something you've been looking for. Spring, looks like you have an opportunity for good on so many different levels. There's a real appreciation on the part of a male towards you if you're a female, and if you're a male, you're going to have a female that's going to be advising you that much they appreciate you. So you're going to get recognition on the personal front emotionally during the summer. You are going to find that career energy, everything you put in to your efforts in developing a career, really going to take off during the summer. And if you're looking for a new job, you're going to find it then. And money seems to come in around December the 18th, even though it's getting into winter with December. Fall season seems to allow you to really see some good results. If you work hard, keep yourself attentive to what you're going to do. And you need to know that if you have faith in yourself, people are going to have faith in you. And you may find that there's some extra cash by late fall. And, of course, when December comes around, extra dollars always help, especially if you want to take a special trip to Mexico. Yeah, try one of those cruises. Good thing. And or if you're wanting to buy presents for yourself and for loved ones. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Now, tomorrow, we'll talk about Cancer, Leo, and Virgos. Yes, we'll do three a day. So, anyway, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat for have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 for the U.S. of A. or for Canada, 888-810-8322. Now, by the way, I want to share with you today, if we have the time, a deep dish vegetable quiche. I love quiches. I think they are just one of the best dishes in the world because, one, you can use leftovers with them, but, two, when you cook them, and I did this during the holidays, I fixed up a quiche for friends that were staying with us because they had no power. We had these horrendous storms, and it was so easy. I have a few different recipes for them, and one is just like a mix-all and put it in the oven, and it makes its own crust, and then another one, I did it without a crust. It all depends on what you want to do for your guests or for yourself or for your family. And this particular one is so nice because it's a deep dish quiche. And it can be served hot or it can be served cold. And it's a real nice dish, especially after the holidays where we've had so much heavy food and a lot of goodies. And we're feeling our waistbands a little tight. Well, you don't have to give up good flavor. So I'll be sharing that with you later. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to share this with you because I've had a personal experience with this. Have you ever heard of SAD, S-A-D? Well, it is something that affects a lot of people. And I have tools that have helped me work with it. And I've got a wonderful story about a gal who found out how she could remove herself from being in the dumps during the darker, longer days. And the further north you are, for example, up here in the Pacific Northwest, we have a lot of gray. And we don't have very much bright sunlight, especially during this time of the year. And if it is out there, it's not out there for very many hours. So you have this gray stuff. And usually I'm up early in the morning, so it's black as pitch outside. And I learned about some things, and especially from a very dear friend of mine who is involved in working with people, has done stuff for schools and everything else. It's really made a difference. Now, if you wonder if you have SAD, you will find that you are sort of depressed. And if you're normally an upbeat type of person, and this isn't it, but you just sort of down. You just can't get moving. Trouble sleeping. You feel tired all the time. Your lack of interest in being out and around people. You're easily irritable. You have high cravings for carbs and sweets, anxiety, mood swings. There's just so many different things. But what I found happened to me, how I recognized it, one, I had been talking to people about it for years, but I reached a time in my life when my hormonal levels were changing. And when I entered into menopause, that's when I really noticed it. And I found I just couldn't get up in the morning. And normally I'm up between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And I just couldn't get out of bed. And I said, gee, what's wrong with me? And finally, I recognized it was due to hormonal changes, number one, but number two, it was also the lack of light. So you can boost your feeling of depression with light. Now, of course, if you lived in sunny California, you get a lot of sunshine. But if you're not in California, if you're in a state like the Pacific Northwest area, or Alaska, it's really bad, or you're in Michigan, or you're near New York, you know, places where it's dark for long, long hours, areas of Canada, it can be just so depressing. What you want to do is look at getting the full-spectrum lighting. And you can have a light box, and a light box is going to give out between 2,500 and 10,000 lux, the amount of light shed by a candle. And you can make your own, and it can cost anywhere between $120 and $250. There's a number of different companies, and I know of one in particular that I could recommend highly. So if you wanted to have information on that one, just give me a buzz at 800-872-8852, and I'll be happy to give you the information because I use their products personally. But also, you need to remember that if you're going to use a light box, you want to sit in front of it. You don't want to stare into it. You want to sit in front of the light box. And you need to remember that when you use the light box makes a difference. If you use it in the morning, that is going to really help you. And you don't need to use it for longer than a half hour. If you use it in the evening and you use it for a long period of time, you're going to find you have trouble going to sleep. Also, you've got to be thoughtful because sometimes medications or eye conditions can be affected by using a light box. Well, I've got a lamp that I use that is just marvelous, and I read with it, and it's full-spectrum lighting. I can use it as much as I want. It's great. But there's a lady by the name of Cynthia, and she said, I never realized that I had this problem. And her husband makes a point of reminding her when she needs it. And she has her own little light box that she has fixed up. She said it's about the size of a computer screen. And she puts it about 2 feet away from herself. She said, as soon as that light goes on, and her husband can recognize the signals when she's not feeling up to par, and he said, come on, it's time for the light box. And they'll sit in her, it's about 2 feet away, sit her in front of the light box, and she just perks right up. Now, from the time she'd been in college, she had lived with depression, and she said she tried antidepressants, she tried all kinds of things, and it was just consistently these patterns, especially when the darker months started showing up. Fortunately, she had a doctor who was educated about SAD, and he said, you know what, I'm going to take you off the antidepressants. I'm going to recommend that you try a light box and use light therapy. Now, what does SAD stand for? It's Seasonal Affective Disorder, and there's over 14 million people in the U.S. that are affected by this. And when she does this, she just feels wonderful. And every spring, they just put the light box away, and she said, thanks to the light box, I'm living the kind of life I want to live. She said, I don't have depression anymore. And if anybody has a concern about this, they ought to give it a try. It made a huge difference for me, and I'm not on antidepressants. So that's just a little bit of something to share with you. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to chat with me, 877-876-5227. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, 888-810-8322. Don't go away. I've got more fun things to share with you. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Okay, I promised you the deep dish vegetable quiche. Oh, and don't forget, if you want to give me a buzz, I'll be glad to give you an insight into yourself and into this new year of 2007. Call 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. Oh, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show, too. And let them know about our archiving, because we are going to be catching up with all of that, so you'll be able to listen to any of the programs that you possibly have missed. Okay, got that pad of paper and pen handy? How about the deep dish vegetable quiche? Now, what you're going to need is a tablespoon of olive oil, one onion, and you want to cut the onion into quarter-inch thick slices, or if you're like me, you just chop it up. And then you want 2 cloves of garlic, finely minced. You want a package about 7 ounces of baby spinach. You want 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/2 salt, 1/2 teaspoon, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. You need 1 sheet, 1/2 15-ounce package of refrigerated 9-inch pie crust dough, or make your own. If you have your own special pie crust recipe, you just need the 1 pie crust recipe. So either buy it ready and prepared or the other. Then you can get a jar, 12-ounce jar of roasted red peppers. You want to drain them and pat them dry. You can get a jar of sliced mushrooms and drain them. That's about 6 ounces. And then you want 5 ounces of Fontina cheese, and you want to grate that, 5 ounces of Fontina cheese, 3 eggs, 1 cup of milk, and I recommend both of these ingredients at room temperature. When you put them out, you know, take care of all of your stuff first and let them just come up to room temperature, and then 1/2 teaspoon of crushed dried rosemary. Now, let me give you a couple of Donna tips. Your mushrooms and your red peppers, if you don't want to buy them canned, you can get them fresh. Just cut up a red pepper into thin slices or just chop them up and mushrooms and lightly saute them in their own juices. You want to get the juices out of the mushrooms, though. You want to cook them until the juices are pretty much evaporated, and then you'll be ready to add them to the quiche, because otherwise you're going to find your quiche is too moist. And the same with your spinach. If you pre-cook your spinach and then you drain it, then that's going to be a good thing. You can just put this, some of the ingredients all together and the night before, and then assemble it maybe the next morning if you're having company. Now, what you want to do is preheat your oven to 375 degrees and a 12-inch nonstick skillet. You want to heat your oil over medium-high heat, add your onion and your garlic, and you want to cook it, stirring until it's soft, and that just takes about 3 minutes. Then add in your spinach and 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 1/8 teaspoon of pepper, and cook until the spinach is just wilted. That's about 3 to 5 minutes. And, of course, you want to drain the spinach in a sieve and then squeeze out the excess liquid. Now, remember, you can do this the night before if you want, so you can do that. And then you want to have a spring-form pan about 9 inches in diameter. You want to spray that with cooking spray, and then you put the dough into the pan and just move the dough around until it comes up the sides of the pan and covers the bottom. You want to spread 1/2 of the vegetables over the bottom, top with 1/2 the cheese, and repeat the layers, ending with the cheese. And then you want to take your eggs, your milk, and your rosemary, and the salt and pepper that's remaining, and then you want to whisk that all together, and then pour it right over all of your ingredients that are inside the crust, and then you bake it for 50 minutes or until it's set, and let it cool on a rack for 20 minutes. And remember, this is a deep dish quiche, and it will be warm, not real hot when you serve it, but that allows the moisture to disperse throughout the quiche itself. When you go to cut it, if you cut it too soon after you've baked it, then sometimes it can be not real firm to the cut. So it's good, especially with this being a deep dish quiche. Let it just sit for 20 minutes, and you can be setting the table or doing whichever you're going to do, or just let it totally cool. And if you're having company the next day and you're going to be in a hurry, this is what I've done with a quiche, then I just go ahead and I let it cool entirely. And then I put all of it right into the fridge. And then when it comes time to serving it, I can then preheated up in the pan itself. This is in a spring form pan, so all you have to do is pop the spring on the side, and it'll just be as pretty as a picture, and you can slide it if you want onto a beautiful platter. But you can then reheat it, and while you're doing the preparations of setting the table, whatever, then it's going to be nice and warm and just perfect for your guests, and you don't have to do a thing. But these are just a great item to be aware of in your cooking processes, because when you're under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, it's a fabulous way to present a beautiful breakfast or even a dinner. A quiche is wonderful for any meal, and for leftovers, can't be beat. It's just absolutely great. So that's deep dish vegetable quiche. Oh, and I want to pass along one other tip. Whenever you're going to put something into a pie crust, and I learned this, and this is something that's just really a good tip, especially when you have a very, very wet kind of a mixture that's going into the pie crust. What you want to do before you put your filling in, have your oven at 350 degrees and brush it with egg white. Whip the egg white quickly with a fork, and then brush the inside of the crust with the egg white. Put it in the oven for no longer than a minute. Take it out, and then put your mixture in, and your crust won't get soggy. Boy, it was a long time before I knew about that, so I wanted to be sure and tell that to you, because sometimes people get soggy crust and go, ooh, yuck, I don't like this. Well, that'll keep you from getting soggy crust, especially with your quiche. Donna Sebo here, and I know we don't have a whole bunch of time left. I want to let you know we've got some wonderful guests next week. We're going to be talking about the secrets of life with Douglas James Cottrell. And, of course, you're going to have to listen so you find out about those secrets. Then we're going to talk about Deeds of Trust by Alessandra Rain. This is an extremely powerful book, and it is a woman's personal journey. That is absolutely awesome, and I invite you to be a part of the show and listen. You will be amazed. And then we're going to have an open mic day where I'm going to have all kinds of different subjects that I'll be able to discuss with you, and the phone lines will be open for that whole day. And that's going to be next Wednesday. And then we're going to be talking on Thursday the four realities of success during and after college. Now, this is so important because if any of us have young people coming out of college and they're going, well, what am I going to do with myself, so on and so forth, they really need to have some real good understanding about how they can make life work for them. So this is a great book. Bob Roth is going to be our guest. Then we're going to be talking on Friday of next week with Dr. Michael Rabinoff. We're going to be talking about tobacco. He has put together a very informative publication called The Tobacco Holocaust. And it is an eye-opener of eye-openers. So we have got a most dynamic week. I invite you to join us each and every day. And remember, on BBS Radio, we do have the opportunity to archive the shows, and you're going to have a chance to listen to them. So if you want more information, go to my newsletter, come to me, give me a call at my office if you want to know about other guests coming up. And also, you can go to the BBS site where you're going to be able to see all the programs listed. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we are out of time. It has been so delightful to be with you, and I want to thank my guest, Louis LeGrand, for being with us. And love does live on. Love is what life is all about. And just remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your love touches the hearts and minds of everyone that's around you. Remember that, and you will never know poverty as an individual. Never, ever in your life. This is Donna Sebo. Take care. God bless. I'll be with you on Monday. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.